Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hear and Beyond, Live Skillfully with Hearing Loss, by Shari Eberts and Gail Hannon. Narrated by Robin Siegerman. Introduction. The Art of Living Skillfully with Hearing Loss. What is it like to live with hearing loss? Those who have hearing loss find it hard to describe. Those who don't have it find it hard to understand, especially in someone they love. Why can you hear well in some situations but not in others? How can you be sensitive to loud noises yet watch the TV at maximum volume? Why do the activities you once enjoyed now seem to take so much energy? Why don't hearing aids fix the problem the way glasses usually fix vision? Whether you're new to hearing loss or have been living with it for a long time, you have probably felt the unwelcome change that hearing loss imposes on even the smallest corners of your communication life. With no operating manual to help you figure out how to live with it, you've been getting by on information pieced together from various sources. Yet communication often seems incomplete and unsatisfying. You may be frustrated and isolated, perhaps even angry. These feelings are normal, shared at some point by almost everyone who has hearing loss, including your authors. In our separate journeys, we struggled and found nothing changed because we didn't know how to make things better. But eventually, through trial and error and the good fortune of meeting other amazing people with hearing loss, we each learned to live more skillfully. We shifted our focus from wanting to hear better to wanting to communicate better. And that changed everything. In Hear and Beyond, we offer a skills-based approach that will help you live better with your hearing loss, regardless of how long you've had it. Some strategies and workarounds will make a difference almost immediately, while others may take more time. Our formula is based not only on our personal experiences, but also on those of thousands of other people like us. Our principles are rooted in lived experiences and corroborated by hearing science, tremendous advances in technology, and the development of modern hearing care principles, such as person-centered care. In the chapters ahead, we share how our hard-won skills became personal philosophies for communication success. By simply opening yourself up to the possibilities of a new approach to your hearing loss, you're taking a transformational step forward. Living skillfully with hearing loss. How do you live skillfully with hearing loss? The first step is knowing what to expect. Understanding the big picture will help you embark on a more successful hearing loss journey. The second key to living skillfully is introducing into your life a series of integrated strategies with a single targeted purpose: to improve communication. Changing your attitudes, which we call mind shifts. Using a broad range of technology tools that boost comprehension, and changing the game with communication behaviors that make almost any listening situation manageable. Think of this trio as the supports of a three-legged stool which never wobbles, even on bumpy ground. Each strategy is an important component of good communication, and when the three legs work together, they form a solid platform for your best possible communication life, supporting you in even the most challenging listening situations. The final feature of skillful living is applying these strategies to the areas of life that matter most to you, in your relationships, work life, and other passions. Here and Beyond is structured around this simple framework. In the big picture, we discuss the spectrum of experiences that comprise the hearing loss journey. In mind shifts, we look at counterproductive attitudes and reframe them to help you live more successfully with hearing loss. In technology, we explore a variety of tools designed for better communication. In Communication Game Changers, we reveal powerful non-technical strategies that can improve almost any difficult listening situation. In Relationships and Support Networks, we describe how to build a strong and diverse support network, including choosing the right hearing care professional, HCP. In Hearing Hacks, we offer specific tips for tackling everyday listening situations. We have laid out the successful life with hearing loss as simply and clearly as we know how. No matter where you are on your hearing loss journey, it can be better if you want it to be. We know this because, like the millions of other people who live with hearing loss, we are on the journey with you. What does it mean to live skillfully with hearing loss? Let's find out. The big picture. Understanding the journey. Gail. For years, my life with hearing loss was a series of I didn't know that moments. I never knew what to expect, except that I would always have hearing loss because my doctor told me there would never be a cure in my lifetime. When I got my first hearing aid at age 20, no one told me it would need replacing every 5 years or so. I didn't learn how to deal with the many emotions of hearing loss that affected my interactions with other people. I didn't know that I could do other things to improve communication, apart from lip reading, which happened almost naturally. I didn't have the big picture. Sherry. Exactly. Hearing loss isn't a one-time event. You get a hearing aid, and that's that. For most people, it's a continuous journey with stages that vary in duration and intensity, depending on a person's individual circumstances, type and degree of hearing loss, personality, attitudes, finances, levels of support from family, friends, and others, and so on. Gail. No two journeys are exactly alike. The road to hearing loss success, however you define it, is straight for some people. For others, it's a meandering path with lots of doubling back and retracing steps. Straight or crooked, most paths have some detours along the way, fluctuations in hearing levels, life curveballs, or even new technology that needs getting used to all over again. Sherry, the COVID-19 pandemic is a good example of that. Social distancing and masks rewrote the rules of effective communication. Even people who had been living comfortably for years with their hearing loss now struggled with the new challenges posed by trying to understand masked speech or to excel at video conferencing. Gail. That's why the big picture is so important. If we understand what to expect from our hearing loss, such as the attitudes and emotions we may have about it, the technologies and non-technical tools we can use to communicate better, and how we can manage hearing loss in our relationships and our lives, then we can be prepared. We can manage our own journey. Sherry, if we knew then what we know now, the path would have had fewer bumps and less angst. The journey would have been easier, sooner. 1. The journey is personal. What? In a Wikipedia list of the 100 most used English words, what ranks at number 40. But for people with hearing loss who use the spoken word to communicate, the word what would probably crack the top 10 list. What? What did you say? What are we talking about? What did I miss? What is the perfect one-word description of life with hearing loss and its disconnect from free-flowing communication? Regardless of whether the loss is mild or profound, staying connected when you lose the thread of a discussion or miss a keyword is tough. Following a conversation takes a lot of effort because you have to concentrate so hard to understand. If you think you have hearing loss, you probably have some burning what questions of your own. What do I do now? What happens next? What can I expect? If you have been living with hearing loss for a long time, perhaps for your entire life, you may feel frustrated or powerless. What can I do to live better with my hearing loss, and who can help me? Unfortunately, hearing loss doesn't come with an operating manual. For decades, most hearing care professionals, HCPs, have followed a standard service model for clients whose hearing losses don't require medical intervention. They test and confirm a client's type and degree of hearing loss and create a treatment plan that usually involves hearing aid technology. What's missing from this hearing care model is the big picture, a real-life illustration of how hearing loss, its emotions, and its barriers affect every corner of a person's life. The conventional approach ignores the many other strategies that a person needs in addition to hearing aids. Most HCPs don't paint this big picture for people with hearing loss, who are seldom invited to participate in developing their own go-forward plan for success. We wish someone had told us there is more to living well with hearing loss than simply getting a hearing aid. It would have helped us to realize sooner that hearing loss does not have to define us. We are not lesser than or less deserving. Hearing loss is only one aspect of who we are. We have hearing loss, but it does not have us. No two journeys are alike. No two people experience hearing loss in exactly the same way. We may pass through the same stages, but the route and timing of each phase will vary depending on personality, life circumstances, support networks, and ease of access to quality hearing care. Your authors are the perfect example. Our stories share similarities, but also many differences. Gail's hearing loss began at birth, while Sherry first noticed hers in her 20s. Yet we both battled feelings of shame and stigma. Gail's parents and extended family were supportive, while Sherry's parents were less helpful. By today's standards, Gail should have started using assistive technology much earlier than age 20, when she was finally prescribed a hearing aid. Sherry's mild hearing loss allowed her to delay using hearing devices for many years. Both of us developed robust support networks and built strong partnerships with our hearing care professionals. But not right away. While we managed careers, found supportive spouses, and raised children, we both experienced setbacks at various stages. We struggled with tinnitus, the experience of sound that has no external source, and battled fear and doubt. But we've been blessed with incredible advances in technology for traditional hearing aids and the proliferation of communication-boosting consumer devices and smartphone apps. Sherry wears bilateral hearing aids, one in each ear. Gail is bimodal, meaning she wears a hearing aid in one ear and has a cochlear implant, a surgically implanted electronic hearing device, on the other side. As you listen to our stories, you may find similarities to your own life, and you will also see that there is no formula for a perfect life with hearing loss. We, like you, continue to learn and to adapt to changes in our hearing and our life, some of which are out of our control. Most importantly, in learning about our struggles and successes, you'll see that we are on this journey with you, urging you on to create your best life with hearing loss. Sherry, battling stigma, embracing change, turning to advocacy. Sherry has an adult-onset genetic sensory neural bilateral progressive hearing loss. Sounds fancy, doesn't it? It means that her hearing loss was passed down through her family, although she first experienced symptoms as an adult. With sensory neural loss, the damage is not a structural flaw that can be repaired with surgery, but an issue with the sensory cells or nerves. Bilateral refers to loss in both ears, and progressive means that, unfortunately, her hearing will likely continue to worsen over time. She first noticed her hearing loss in her mid-20s, when she was in graduate school, but her hearing loss journey began many years before, as she watched her father struggle with his own hearing challenges. He felt highly stigmatized by his hearing loss and did everything he could to hide it from everyone he knew, even growing his sideburns over his ears long after it was fashionable to hide his hearing aids. He eventually isolated himself from everyone, leading a lonely life until his passing several years ago. At social gatherings, her father would disappear to a table in the corner where he would sit by himself. Sherry always wondered why he did this, but once her hearing loss began, she realized he probably couldn't hear well in the reverberant space and was embarrassed or exhausted and just couldn't bring himself to bother trying to engage. Sadly, Sherry's family was not supportive of him. Her mother often whispered to Sherry and her sister behind their father's back, saying, "Don't worry, he can't hear us." Even as a child, Sherry knew that wasn't nice, and thinking back on it now, she is horrified at the behavior. Perhaps her mother struggled with the stigma of hearing loss, too. Sherry's father's greatest fear was that somebody would discover his hearing loss, so he never asked anyone to speak louder or requested a quieter seat in a restaurant. He never did anything to draw attention to his hearing loss. Instead, he would often bluff, pretending to hear what others said rather than admit he had not. Following in his footsteps, when Sherry first began having hearing problems, she hid them. And when she got her first pair of hearing aids, she often refused to wear them, afraid that someone might see them. She was embarrassed, although she wasn't sure why. Was it a learned response from watching her father, or was it something larger, the societal stigma associated with hearing loss that she wanted to avoid? In any event, her mother's reaction was not encouraging. "Do you really need to wear them?" she asked Sherry. Eventually, the answer became yes. Sherry really did need to wear them, but still, she avoided them as much as possible. She would slip them in on the way to work, wearing them hidden behind long hair, and whip them back out as soon as the elevator door closed behind her on the way out of the office. When traveling, she would sneak them in before important client meetings. She hated her hearing aids and only wore them when she absolutely needed to, and never socially or with her family. This all changed after she had children. Because her hearing loss is genetic, she feared she may have passed it on to them. She wanted to set a better example of how to thrive with hearing loss in case either of them should develop the condition. She started wearing her hearing aids all the time and learning about assistive listening devices, technologies other than hearing aids that improve communication in a variety of situations, and hearing loops, sound systems that transmit audio signals directly into a hearing aid via a magnetic field. She taught her friends and family communication best practices and asked them to use them so she could hear her best. In 2014, she started Living with Hearing Loss, a blog and online community where she shares tips and tricks that she uses to live her best hearing loss life. She vowed that she would no longer allow her hearing loss to isolate her from the people that she loves or from the life that she wants to live. It takes effort, but it is worth it. Now she is an advocate for people like her, writing and speaking about her life with hearing loss to raise awareness and improve communication access. Sherry hopes that by sharing her story, she will help others live more comfortably with their own hearing issues. Gail, accepting, adapting, learning to do even better. When someone asks Gail when she first became aware of her hearing loss, she always answers, "When my mommy told me." Gail's mother was a nurse who realized that her 2-year-old daughter was either very stubborn or had something else going on. The doctor confirmed congenital hearing loss, present at birth, of cause unknown. Was it her mother's challenging pregnancy or the even more difficult childbirth? Maybe it was because Gail was a tiny and very cute baby. Or perhaps it was related to some other health problem. There were no answers in her case. Gail was always aware of her hearing issues because she wasn't allowed to forget about them. At her annual trip to the pediatric ENT, ear, nose, and throat doctor, also referred to as an otolaryngologist, she was poked and prodded up her nose and in her ears, and the verdict was always the same. It's a little worse. Come back next year. Sorry, a hearing aid won't help. She also couldn't ignore her hearing loss because her parents didn't. As she grew up, they emphasized the importance of good communication, encouraging her to speak clearly. Slow down. Think about what you want to say. Let people know about your hearing loss. Gail's teachers were always made aware, but the only educational strategy they could offer was for Gail to sit at the front of the class. She was a good student, in spite of the lack of communication support, no hearing aids or other assistive devices, and no teachers for students with hearing loss. It was not quite the dark age in terms of hearing loss, but almost. Although she didn't like sitting at the front all the time, her friends were usually at the back, it was her only hope of understanding her teachers, who had the annoying habit of turning their backs to write on the blackboard as they spoke. Only slightly better was their habit of walking around the classroom as they talked. She became a skilled rubbernecker because, as a speech reader, also known as a lip reader, her eyes followed the walking lips wherever they went. The one time she decided to rebel and sit at the back of the class was a humiliating experience that haunts her still. The teacher called on her, but she hadn't heard clearly from the back. She stood up and, not wanting to say pardon in front of everyone, said, "Sorry, sir, I wasn't listening." Jaws dropped and the class went silent. The teacher said, "Well, thanks for sharing, Gail, but I was calling on Dale, not you." Next class, she was back at the front, having learned a basic hearing loss rule: sit where you can see the lips. At 20, in a life-changing moment, she switched doctors and had a hearing aid within a month, and life became really loud. Over the next 2 decades, as her hearing worsened, she depended on increasingly better hearing aids and useful strategies such as speech reading. She also used the common but not so beneficial tactic of bluffing her way through challenging listening situations. Gail didn't want to have hearing loss. She felt inferior, although it would be years before she realized it. She was constantly embarrassed by her mishears, by saying the wrong things, for speaking too loudly, for cutting people off. She also tired of the constant struggle to understand and keep up with the conversation. At 40, for the first time, she reached out to other people with hearing loss, a transformational decision that kick-started a positive era in her journey. As she soaked up all the information she could about hearing loss, hers, anybody's, and everybody's, her negative attitudes faded away. She was stunned to learn that she was not alone, and that for every communication challenge there are solutions. With this new outlook, she could allow other people to be her communication partners. But living with hearing loss every day of your life doesn't necessarily mean you're good at it. On the contrary, people with hearing loss can become adept at ignoring their own needs, devising ways to hide their conditions, and, worst of all, meekly putting up with inaccessible conditions simply because they don't know how to make it otherwise. To move forward, people with hearing loss must start by looking in the mirror and taking back control. Okay, this is my life now. What am I going to do about it? Gail had this conversation with herself at 40, which spurred her to start using her talents to explain the hearing loss life. She created comedic dramatic performances, became involved in advocacy projects, and presented across North America and internationally. She started writing, and in 2015, published her memoir and survival guide, The Way I Hear It, A Life with Hearing Loss. Life changed, and her journey continues. Even now, the more she learns, the better she communicates. 2. The 5 stages of the journey. Although each person's hearing loss journey is unique, the typical journey has 5 distinct stages. We've seen these in our personal experiences and in the lives of other people with hearing loss whom we have met through our decades-long work with consumer and professional hearing care organizations. The length of each stage is determined by individual circumstances and how each person deals with them. Some people never move beyond the first stage, choosing to live in denial of their hearing loss. Other people get a hearing aid and think they've done all they need to hear better. But that doesn't have to be you. When you understand the big picture and what to expect from the hearing loss journey, you will recognize the power you have to create the life you want. Stage 1. Debating with yourself. You wonder if you're having trouble hearing or if everyone else is mumbling. These suspicions may be subconscious as you struggle with denial, looking for anything or anyone else to blame but your own poor hearing. Stage 2. Validating. It's official. In a series of evaluations, your HCP confirms that you have a hearing loss. It may not be what you wanted, but it's now a reality. Stage 3. Taking charge. With your hearing loss confirmed, you decide to do something about it. Depending on the type of loss, hearing aids are often the first step, but you may discover they are not a standalone prescription for hearing loss. Other changes need to be made. You learn as much as you can about your hearing loss and begin to adopt a dynamic and interlacing set of mental, technical, and practical communication strategies. Stage 4. Living skillfully. This phase is the ultimate goal for your life with hearing loss. In your daily activities and your relationships, you apply what you learned when you took charge in stage 3. You are open-minded about adopting new strategies and technologies that can improve your daily communications. Stage 5. Refreshing and restarting. Just when you think you have it all figured out, something changes. This is what makes the hearing loss experience an ongoing journey rather than a puzzle with a finite solution. Hearing aids need replacing, hearing levels might change, or some other event comes along to change the rules of engagement. Any of these may reroute you to a previous point in your journey. It's a natural part of the process and an opportunity to try something new and to become even more skillful. The stages described here don't happen overnight. They can happen quickly, over the course of a few months, but are more likely to stretch over years. You may need more time to assess your own situation and abilities. You may require time to build your resolve and confidence so that you can try something new. Give yourself the space to ask questions of others and of yourself. Achieving hearing loss success is not a time-limited offer. There are no hard start or stop dates. Some people wait years before finally deciding to do something about their hearing loss. Others just snap to it and race off down the road. For most of us, the journey with hearing loss will last a lifetime. Take a look at the big picture and make it yours. And the sooner the better, because there's a world of improved communication waiting for you. Let's take a deeper dive into what happens in each stage. Stage 1. Debating with yourself. "What did he say?" Sherry whispered to her seatmate in class. The room had just exploded in laughter at something the teacher said. This wasn't the first time Sherry had missed a punchline. Early into her first semester of graduate school, she began worrying about her hearing. She started missing comments that students made under their breath and the quiet jokes that set the room ablaze with laughter. She knew what was happening. She was losing her hearing, just like her father had as a young adult. If you are genetically predisposed to hearing issues, it may be easier to recognize them in yourself. But for most people, there is no single aha moment when they finally realize or admit to a problem. Hearing loss often develops so gradually it may be hard to notice in yourself. Most often, a family member notices it first, perhaps during the nightly battle over the volume of the television, or because of the innocent comment that was misinterpreted as anger.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?